The scripture reading this evening is from Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 16. I will be reading from the English Standard Version. Again, Mark 16, 14 through 16. After he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned."
Good evening. Good to see you here this evening. Hope all mothers are happy for your sakes, husbands. Hope you've treated them royally this day, but we're glad to see all of you here with us. If you're visiting with us, glad you're here, and hope you'll come back and be with us. And if you're a regular, glad you're here. Hope you'll come back and be with us. Tomorrow night, remember, Monday night for the Master. We only have a couple more weeks left in that before we go on summer break. So come out and join us. If you want to just come and look around, see what we do, that's fine. We eat at 6 o'clock, and then by 6:30 we're ready to have prayer together and then go do our work. But love to have you come out and be with us. I think you would enjoy it. But I hope you got your Bible with you tonight, ready to turn and follow along. But let's get right into that lesson now. I was, 49 years old, first time I went out of the country. In today's terms, that's ancient. I know most kids now leave when they're in their mid-teens, going on trips to Europe and so forth. But I didn't leave until 2003 when I visited Lima, Peru, where my son was living at the time. And I'd never seen a lot of the things that I saw there. I mean, it was like a fantasy land to me. I remember one scene where llamas were coming down the mountain loaded with sacks of something. And then just below them in the river, there were several mothers with their children doing laundry in the river. And I thought, man, this is just, I've seen things like this on the movies. I never thought I would actually experience it. But then I would see things that I saw here in the U.S., like a KFC. I told people that I was from Kentucky. They call it Kentucky. When they go to get chicken, they go to Kentucky to get chicken. They thought I was from a chicken restaurant. And I remember seeing the sign for Lions Club. Some of you have been or are members of that. And so there were things there that were very familiar, things that were very uncommon to me. And as I was there, of course, I was wondering, well, what's the church going to be like in Lima? There were a few congregations in that large city. And so I went there, and my mind was, of course, anticipating, you know, it's going to be very different. I won't know what's going on and so forth. Well, we'll get into that a little bit more as we get further into the lesson. But I say that because a similar experience happened last Monday, although this one was virtual. And I got an email from a new acquaintance that I have made with a fella in Ghana. He wrote to me by email. That's how I first met him. And since then, I have verified that he is who he says he is and a trustworthy individual. And so we have struck up some correspondence, and I've learned some things from him already, and I'm looking forward to developing that relationship. And so tonight, what I'm going to do, this is two lessons in one. You get a bonus tonight. The first part, I'm going to actually share with you a lesson that he told me he had taught a week ago today. In Ghana, in this small village in central Ghana in which he lives, he is the preacher there. And he told me this is the lesson. He gave me the outline for it. And so tonight I'm going to borrow his outline, and it won't be long. It's a very simple and a very quick lesson. But I want you to think, you know, what's it going to be like? Is it going to be really different? Is it something unlike anything that we've ever experienced? Well, you judge for yourselves. So let's look now at Ebenezer's lesson on five needed habits. And I say Ebenezer because that's his name, Ebenezer. He entitled the lesson, Five Habits We Need to Develop to Become More Effective Christians. Five Habits We Need to Develop to Become More Effective Christians. And of course, I was interested. I hope you are interested, because maybe something that comes out of Africa can help us who are here in the U.S. So here are the five things that he listed, along with the very scriptures that he listed. He may have had others, but these were the ones that he shared with me. Habit number one, reading our Bibles daily. Reading our Bibles daily. And that doesn't sound very odd, does it? Doesn't sound very unfamiliar. In fact, that's something that we hammer away at quite a bit here at Central. But he listed 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, and that's a passage that we have heard numerous times. But let's look at it again. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, where here writing to Timothy, Paul says this, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." Now, your translation may say, study to show yourself approved. Being diligent is really a better way to translate that word. But as you see it progress, it is partly about being a good student of the word of God. Rightly handling or cutting straight, I believe as the Greek word literally means, cutting straight the word of God, the word of truth. And isn't that really where it all begins if we want to be disciples, period? It begins with hearing the Lord. If we don't know what the Lord has said, how can we follow him? How can we hope to be effective disciples if we don't begin right there by hearing the word of God? So I think Ebenezer is right on by beginning with that habit of hearing God daily through his word. Secondly, he mentions this habit, and that is communicating with God daily through prayer. And again, we're thinking, well, wait a minute. We hear those kinds of things a lot. Yes, that's exactly right. And he listed here 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. You don't even need to turn to it. Pray without ceasing. It's already gone. You haven't got there yet, even if you're a whiz with your thumbs. But you see, that's the idea again, is that if we want to be effective Christians, disciples of the Lord, then we need to make prayer a habit in our lives. Why is that? I think it's the idea of developing a personal relationship with God. It's not just a matter of going through the checklist, you know, here's what I have to do, I'll do this, one, two, three, I've got it done. No, we're developing a relationship in which we go into the presence of our Father in heaven, we tell him things that are on our hearts, and we hear him speak to us through the word, and therefore there is that relationship. And so again, I would say to Ebenezer, that's a very good way to go. And if any of us want to be good disciples, that's a habit we've got to develop. Habit number three that Ebenezer suggested in this lesson was setting personal spiritual goals. And I'm using his exact words when I give you these habits. And the title of his lesson. These are not my words, these are his. And he takes us to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26 to illustrate the idea there. And let's look at that. And again, it's a very familiar passage. It is where we learn about the fruit of the Spirit. We've already been told about the works of the flesh. Now the fruit of the Spirit, he says. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And there you see is the idea of what we want to become. Now, I don't know that I've ever met anybody who is a Christian who will say, I've got all that down. I've got that. Don't need to go back to that anymore. I don't know anybody. Instead, we look at that and we say, man, that's challenging. This world is very unlike that. And so it is a constant battle to become those things, having love in our hearts and joy and patience and goodness and all of that. It's a challenge. And yet he says we need to set those as our goals. And with any goal that we set, we have to continually go back to it and just check ourselves, see how we're doing. What is our progress? And so once again, I would say to Ebenezer, very good. That is good advice straight from the Word of God, things like we have said to one another here in the U.S. Habit number four, taking responsibility of our souls and the souls of others. And again, these are his words. Taking responsibility of our souls and the souls of others. Now, what does that mean? Well, he lists three passages to develop that idea. Luke chapter 15, 1 through 32. We're not going to read that right now, but you probably already know that's where three parables are found that Jesus spoke that all emphasize things that are lost. The lost coins, the lost sheep, the lost son. And common to all of those is the idea there was concern on the part of the one to whom those things belong, and they were not content to say, well, I guess it's gone. They went looking. They went sweeping. They wanted to retrieve that which was lost. And then when it was found, there was great joy every time. Well, the point that he's making there is, do we have that attitude? Do we have the attitude for ourselves, number one, and then for others around us? Do we recognize that they're lost, that we might be able to do something to retrieve them, and we too will have that joy that heaven has when someone that is lost is found? He then goes to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, where Peter tells us there, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Perish there, of course, is talking about the ultimate death, the death because of our sins. And he's saying God doesn't want that to happen to anybody. He's not delighted when the wicked die and says, I finally got them. They're out of the way now. God is not that way. But instead, he wants them to come to repentance. Well, again, Ebenezer is trying to say to us, let's look at ourselves. Is that our heart? Is that the way we feel about others? And again, if not, should that not be one of our goals, our habits that we work at developing? And then the passage in Mark chapter 16 that Creighton read for us a bit ago. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. You know this so well. Jesus in his great commission says this, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And we look at that and we say, well, who can understand that? I can't go to my friends and help them. What? Did you read that? There's nothing any simpler than that. Jesus says, go proclaim this message. And essentially it means they need to believe the message that they hear, the message of the gospel, and they need to submit to it. They need to obey it. And then they can find salvation. And again, you see, that's what he's telling us. We need to go back to the Word of God, examine ourselves. Are we following the call of our Master? Have we forgotten these things? Do we minimize these things? And Ebenezer is again bringing out some very important information, even for us in America. And then habit number five that he mentioned in his lesson, remain focused on spiritual things. Remain focused on spiritual things. And again, I stress, these are his words. I'm giving you the habits and his wording, and this is just the way it came to me. He takes us to Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. And again, how familiar is this passage? I hope you see it as familiar, because it ought to be one of those really clear statements to all of us who have said, we're going to follow the Lord. Here's what Paul says in Colossians 3, beginning in verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Notice that. Set your minds on things that are above. For you have died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, is that something that we struggle with? I dare say the people with whom Ebenezer works do not have the struggle with this like we do. We are surrounded by distractions. I mean, just totally surrounded by distractions. And it is a struggle for us to keep our focus on spiritual things. But isn't that crucial if we're going to be good disciples? Effective disciples, as he says in the title of his lesson. And so again, you see, the idea is these are things from the Word of God. And when you go down the list, read your Bible daily, communicate with God through prayer, set personal spiritual goals, take responsibility of our souls and the souls of others, remain focused on spiritual things. Is there anything there uniquely African? Or is there anything uniquely American? It's all uniquely Christian. And that's the point that I want us to get at here in the next idea. But before we leave this, let me just also tell you that this was actually a class that Ebenezer taught, a lesson in Bible class. It wasn't the sermon last Sunday morning. He said a man that he is working with in a leadership class brought the sermon, and his topic was, do not forsake the assembly, based on Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. And again, you say, well, hey, we hear that sometimes. And you may think too much, but maybe not. But again, you see, it's the fact that it's that way in Africa, in Ghana, where, you know, Daniel's been there. I don't know how many others have been to Ghana. But you see, that's Christianity. So that brings us to the other lesson. And again, it's going to be a brief one. The faith that we practice is a universal faith. The faith that we practice is a universal faith. Now, I want to tell you a little bit more about Ebenezer. We haven't really said much about him yet, but I really want to introduce you to him. His full name is Ebenezer Amable, and I may not be pronouncing that correctly, but that's how it looks to me, Ebenezer Amable. And he first wrote to me by email on April 22nd, and the way he got my email address, he said that he had been listening to lessons that are on our website. How interesting is that he found us, and now I'm preaching his lesson. And he wrote these words, and I'm going to quote him. He said, my name is Ebenezer Amable. I was baptized into Christ 2004. I have over 7 years' experience in preaching and training leaders in the Lord's church. I pledge to serve the Lord for the rest of my life. I love to study and meditate on his words, which can be found in the New Testament. And I just love to read things like that. From anybody, but here's a brother in Christ in a very different culture, and yet he loves the Lord just the way I proclaim to love the Lord. And I checked on this. I contacted a missionary who is in Ghana, an American missionary. He works with the Bear Valley School of Preaching out of Colorado that some of you may be familiar with. And I said, is this somebody that you know? I wrote to them because there was something I found that said he did. Stephen Ashcraft, the missionary, responded that Ebenezer is indeed a faithful brother in Christ who works with their school. He receives about $60 a month to help with his expenses as he labors in the kingdom. And then Ebenezer shared several photos. I'm only giving you two or three here, well, maybe four. But he shared the photos with me so that I could know him better. He has a wife and a young son. And last Sunday, he says, there were 45 who were in worship with the Asanadze. That's probably not even close to the way I should pronounce it. the Assinodicy Church of Christ, and about 30 of those are adults and about 15. And this is a picture of where they meet as they come together to worship the Lord. Now, you probably know that for nearly three years, Daniel Owusu has worshiped with us. He just walked the line yesterday, received his PhD degree in public health. Daniel is also from Ghana, and in case you don't know, he came to his knowledge of the truth through World Bible School, through a lesson that somebody else had. He looked at it, he said, I'd like to do that. And so he wrote and received the lessons and learned the truth and obeyed the gospel as a result of that. And I know you hear Chig Gunter often talking about World Bible School and others among us that have done it. It really does reach people that cannot be reached in other ways. But the idea that we need to impress upon ourselves based on all of this is, again, our faith is a universal faith. And again, should we be surprised that the church in other parts of the world teaches, believes, and practices the same things that we do? I mean, sure, the language is going to be different in some places. The dress may be different. The buildings, if there are buildings, are going to be very different. But the essential nature of our faith is universal. I found that to be true in Lima, Peru. I found it to be true in Hinotega, Nicaragua. And I'm sure others of you that have been in worship with the saints in other places, you find it to be the same there as well. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7 for a moment. And I'm just going to note a couple of quick statements here. 1 Corinthians 7, the latter part of verse 17. After discussing whether a Christian should be married in an age of persecution, a very unique situation that Paul was addressing there, he then added this comment in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17, this is my rule in all the churches. And when he says in all the churches, it's a way of saying our faith is a standardized faith to some extent. Yeah, there are some differences. We don't always sing the same hymns. We don't always dress the same way. But these teachings that we find in the Word of God, they're meant to be universal. And then go to chapter 14 of the same letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the latter part of verse 33, and then verse 34, where Paul says this, as in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. And there he's talking about public leadership roles for women. And he says, the teaching is the same wherever I go. It's not that I teach one thing here and another thing there. I teach a universal gospel. And that's the idea that we need to keep coming back to. And again, Jesus said that, didn't he? In Mark 16, 15 and 16, he said, take the gospel to the whole creation. It is the same gospel that we are to preach here or there or anywhere. We are a united family. In a later email last week, Ebenezer wrote me these words, and I'll close with this photo of he and his wife. He said, Brother Tim, there are many people over here who are ready to hear the gospel. Even though I don't have the means to reach all of them with the gospel, I will do whatever I can to reach the few. And isn't that an attitude worth imitating? You know, I can't do all things, but I can do some things. And so I will do what I am able to do. I hope you will pray for Ebenezer and his wife and son and for the church there. He, in fact, asked that I ask you to pray for the church there. But we often overlook the blessing that we have as members of Christ's kingdom. And one of those blessings is that we're part of a worldwide family. It's not just an American church. It is a worldwide family, rich in cultural differences. And we're blessed here at Central to have a small taste of that by having people from different backgrounds who worship with us at various times. That's a blessing. And while some may look and say, well, they're not like us, praise God. If we are united in Christ, let us enjoy those differences and learn about one another and enjoy the blessing that we have by having such a rich, diverse family in Christ. And that's the point that I'm hoping to get across tonight. Yes, this lesson, the first part of the lesson, came from Africa. And I understand some of you were doing a lot of guessing about those five habits from Africa that I was going to talk about. But they're simple lessons, just like we teach here, straight from the Word of God. Do you need to respond to the gospel? I'll tell you what Ebenezer would tell you. In fact, he wrote me again about a study he has with a denominational preacher, and he went through the very same scriptures that I would go through with somebody in trying to show them that here is the way of truth. You've heard the truth. Do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus is God's Son? Are you ready to repent of your sins, confess Him before this group tonight, put Him on in baptism? And if you've done that, have you been faithful? Or do you need to repent and pray for forgiveness? Whatever your need, come as we stand and sing.